Hello, my name is Ali, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Ali.
My clean date is June 6, 2019. Sorry. Nineteen. So, first of all, I'm Leo, so you know my pride is already up there. Second of all, my last name means warrior. So, it's, you know, brought up to think, you know, I'm a fighter. I need to do it this way, I need to do it that way. You don't give up, you don't give in, you don't stop. And that was the way my dad raised us. So I had to keep my pride. I did something wrong, I would cover it up, and never happened. Or I would just swallow my pride and continue doing what I did and not look back and not care what I did because it wasn't me. Look at me, I'm perfect. And then so I come into the rooms, you know, because I was told I was an addict, not because I admitted I was an addict. Somebody said, you're an addict, get trashed in the room. And then when I got into the rooms, they're like, you can't save your face and your ass at the same time. With my pride, I'm like, well, I have a pretty face. I have no ass, so let's work on that. So I'm like, all right, so I'm going to give up. I'm going to swallow my pride just a little bit because I'm not going to let you know how weak I am and how much help I need. Because I am broken, and you're not going to find out because, you know, I have to hold on to something. And I did. I did that, and I listened to everyone, took the tools I needed, kept them in my little toolbox under the bed, you know, magazine on top of it, art supplies in front of it, and I was not going to touch it because I am a warrior, and I have to fight, and I have to do it on my own. So, needless to say, life happens. And I find myself against the wall with nowhere to go. And I had to take those tools out, right? But of course, I've never used them. And the only one I know how to use is the one that says, pick up the phone. So I'm like, all right, well, let's pick up this phone and see if anybody's willing to help me because these people are full of it. But they're not, you know. I swallowed my pride and I was able to say, help me. Help me, I am dying. And then, well, what do you feel? I don't know. I never had to feel before, so I have no idea of what I'm feeling. And then they're like, have you admitted you're an addict, first of all? Because I hear you keep saying you don't have a problem. And I was like, no, I'm not an addict. I'm just here for him. He needs help. I'm perfect. I had to do that, swallow my pride and say, hello, my name is Allie and I'm an addict. And I was like, wow, that just hurts. But I had to remember that I need help now and I have to forget where my dad had put me and put in my head that I was perfect, that I could do anything because my last name means warrior. So, and of course, the Leo. So I was like, okay, let's do this. I'm gonna show everybody. I'm gonna use the tools, you know. I learned and I accumulated throughout the years. And then last March is when my higher power decided, was, let's see if you're serious. We're gonna put this to a test, and I'm gonna do all this stuff where you're gonna have to swallow your pride so completely that you're gonna show everybody how broken you are, and how NA can fix you and bring you back. So last March, my father dies. It was so hard, and I cried, and I'm still crying, and I asked for help. People in NA, one person in NA, forms a food train and feeds my family for 2 weeks so I can lay in bed and, you know, swallow my pride and, not swallow my pride, and let go of my pride and cry and show people that I'm human and I don't have the power my dad told me I had. Fast forward, my mom forgets who I am. I was like, all right, another obstacle. I know what to do. So I call people. I'm like, I just yelled at my mom and cussed her out. You know, and they're like, what? I'm not the perfect daughter. I just yelled at my mom, and I had to swallow my pride there too. Fast forward, the main one that broke me down, that brought me into the rooms crying for months. And I would sit in the corners of the rooms and show people how much help I needed and how much, you know, I couldn't do this without y'all. And I cried and I screamed and I yelled, and I had to let go completely of my pride, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today. And then, you know, one thing they do say is, like, read the books, read the books, read the books. And I'm like, shut up, shut up, shut up. So, of course, you know, you always, you know, you go to the rooms and you hear exactly where you're at. And you're like, how are you doing this? You're watching me, aren't you? So I read the book and I opened it up. And I, first thing I read was basic text, page 105, more will be revealed. Our ego, once so large and determined, now takes the back seat, because we are on, with our loving God. I'm sorry. So that ego I had that told me I'm not an addict, I got this, I don't need y'all, I can do this by myself because I am a fighter and I'm in my dad's child, got put in that back seat. And I told her to shut up, pretty much, because it's like, they told us to shut up, so you better shut up. So, it's been there since January. And now, every time I need help, anytime I like feel like I'm gonna about to lose it, any little thing that tells me you're about to go out, I pick up that phone and I call, crying for the thousand times to the same person about the same situation, because it's gone and done it again. And that it's gone and done it again, of course it's me. Nobody else but me. I've gone and done it again. And, you know, I like, yes, I know I'm messing up. Yes, I know I'm not supposed to do it. Yes, I know I lost it. And I lost everything. And it's not my fault. And I can say that now. I can swallow my pride and say it's not my fault. Or it is my fault. That was my fault. Yes, I did do that. Yes, I cheated on him. Yes, I lied about him. Yes, I did all this. And I could do that now, because it's going to help me stay clean. Mm. The main one that I've been going around since Wednesday is, I'm in so much pain still. So much pain. That on Wednesday, my using was at 90%. But of course, I couldn't go back out because I promised y'all I was going to be here and I have to do this. Because I'm going to keep my word, because that's who I am now. Tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be of service. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do to stay clean. So because of this, I couldn't go back out on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I picked up that phone, went to meetings. I was tired because I was going to I went back to school to get my recovery coach license, which I don't know if I'm going to use it, but I want it just to have it. I got a brand new job and I started orientation, and it's so much information because it's something huge, and I'm even on the 14th floor of this building with amazing view, and I'm tired and I don't want to go to meetings. That's the last thing I want to do. But I have to go to meetings because I have to swallow my pride that I'm weak and I need help. And I have to swallow my pride and say, look at someone in the eyes, help me, help me, help me. I'm about to go out. But here I am because so many people told me that I'm a miracle, that I'm worth it, that I'm all this, that, you know, you're so strong. You look at you, you're standing, you're still standing, you're still coming, you're still doing it. You haven't used. And I'm going to let you down. I could have gone back out and just said, no, I'm still clean, because I don't want to let y'all down. But that pride that I put in that back seat back in January, is still back there. Because if it does take over me again, I don't know if I would be here telling y'all that I'm still clean, but I know I wouldn't be in a great place. Because either I would say, F y'all, I'm out of here. Or I would just be lying to myself and be lying to everybody. But Yeah, so I've been telling on myself since Wednesday. And I can tell y'all right now, it's gone down to 30. Because I kind of forgot how much fun it is to be clean. Mm-hmm. And how much fun it is to be around people that love me. Mm-hmm. And how much fun it is to torture someone thinking you're a man and you're flirting with them. Mm-hmm. And he's just like not having it. Because yesterday I was in a drag show. Having fun. Mm-hmm. Laughing. People that have not seen me through it all were like, look at your smile, it's back. You're dressed like a man, but it's back. And you're killing it. You actually look like a person like Lenny Kravitz. And like, so, of course, I'm like, all right, let's do this. Let me go have some fun. So I ran around this whole hotel freaking out everybody. And it was so much fun to me. And I was like, this is fun. And I could not have done this if it wasn't for, you know, letting go of everything that I was brought up to think, for wanting to be the best me I could be, for trying to get validations from people that I should not get validations from, or validations from people that don't want to validate me, or just not let anybody that's ever crossed my path down. Because that was my biggest thing. I cannot let you down. I mean, if you see me in a different light because I'm not perfect, then that's your fault, not mine. And I had to know that. I had to know that I could not control your thoughts. I cannot control your feelings. I cannot control what you think of me because I'm here for me, and I have to do what I have to do. So if I have to sit here in front of all these strangers, because I only know maybe like 10 of y'all, I tell y'all that I need help. I need help because as of Wednesday, my thoughts were telling me this is the last service you have. After you leave this room, you're done. There's no more service for you. So just go. It's 30% right now, and I know I need help. And I've been going around and telling people, help me, help me, help me, please, I'm dying. And that's pretty much all I can think of.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Woo! How y'all doing, family? My name is Mario, and I am an addict. Yeah. Grateful to be in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, right? I want to thank the committee for asking me to share. Thank you for sharing, and we love you, okay? Yes. You don't have to go out and use ever again, even if you want to, right? Stay in that service, right? And, so I kind of got this thrown at me at the last minute. But anyways, I'll just start by, my name is Mario. I'm an addict. I'm from Corpus Christi. My home group is Shot of Hope, which meets at 3307 Ayers, the Coastal Bend area of Narcotics Anonymous in Corpus Christi. Come out and see us. We meet Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, Saturday at noon, and there's a Thursday night meeting at 6 o'clock at some other address. But if you want to go get with me after the meeting, I'll show you where that address is at on Thursday night. So, I will just kind of tell a little bit about myself. Started using it at a real young age. I was, about 12, something like that. And then, I found myself in my first rehab at the age of 14. And, I remember getting there and saying, oh, y'all are fucking crazy. I just like to smoke pot. I don't belong here, right? You know, so of course the day I got out, I was high, I continued to use up until till I went to my next rehab. But, I remember I graduated high school and I went to college, got my wife pregnant, my ex-wife pregnant, and had some kids, but I was the weekend warrior, right? My weekends would start on Thursday and end on Monday night, and I'd be there Tuesday morning. Hey, let me back in, right? And, this happened like once a year, once every 9 months, once every 6 months, mm-hmm. once every 3 months, once a month. And then I was just gone for a month after about, 4 or 5 years, right? And then I went to my next. And then I put myself in rehab, right, for the second time in my life. And there was this this group of people that came in on Thursdays and Sundays, right? And they were a little bit different. They were hugging each other, and they seemed real happy. And that's when I first got introduced to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, man. And for that, I'm truly grateful, you know. And I'd like to say that I wish I stayed clean that long, but I did not. I did manage to stay abstinent for about 2 years, 1 month and 2 days. You know, I had a sponsor. I didn't work any steps. I called him once or twice. I was of service, however, to the meeting at that facility, that rehab facility for about a year, and I learned what a GSR, I went to area and all that stuff. But, you know, I had the family, when are you going to stop going to those meetings? Guess what? I stopped going to the fucking meetings, right? So I stopped going to the meetings, and I was working out of town, and eventually relapsed again, right? So the next 8 years, you know, I managed to accumulate stuff, right? Got a house, got the car, had two kids, and I had two dogs, two peach trees. I lived in a corner lot. I was the football coach, the baseball coach of my kids, right? I had my neighbor's garage codes. They had my garage codes. You know, I'd go on vacation. They would feed my dogs. They'd go on vacation. I'd feed their dogs. But I was still the weekend warrior, right? And again, I suffered from a disease that is progressive. So it progressed, right? And, you know, this last time I went out to use lasted 3 years, right? Ended up, I picked up, you know, a few felony charges, misdemeanors, and, you know, just there was a divorce decree that ended up in my fucking mailbox one day at my dad's house, right? Didn't even go to court because I was too high for all that shit, right? And, you know, I remember, I had a good paying job, you know, making over six figures a year, and I ended up, you know, giving it all away and eating out of dumpsters and trash cans, and remember thinking to myself that all I gotta do is steal this big piece of heavy equipment so I could sell it, right, to pay rent for an apartment I didn't even have, and get high for a whole month. And I just gotta do that once a month, and I'll be good, right? That's where the disease took my thinking. God for the Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And the step working process. And today I don't think like that, right? And I don't live like that. I will say that when I came back this last time, right, it was the last day I used was Christmas Eve of 2015. So my clean date is 12/25/15, which is the same clean date. My clean date is the same birthday as God of my understanding, right? And so, that was Christmas Day. You know, I went to midnight mass with my mom on Christmas Eve, and I used Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and clean date. So what happened was I was jobless, living on my mom's, detox on my mom's couch, and I had to do like probation, you know, had to go do community service. I wasn't signed up for it. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car, nothing like that. So I had to go, what am I going to do? Well, I remember there was this meeting of Narcotics Anonymous at noon at the corner of Alameda and Airline in Corpus Christi. So I said, you know what, take me to the meeting. And went to the meeting, and this big black guy named Bobby S. welcomed me back and gave me a big loving hug and just said, man, I'm glad to see you're still alive, right? Because he was in the treatment center when I went to that treatment center and put myself in there 8 years before, right? And at that moment, I just felt that this is exactly where I needed to be, right? And that pride just went away, right? And of course it came back a little bit more, right? Because, you know, I let the pride go, and I went and took a job. You know, I was riding the bus. I took a job as a dishwasher, you know, carpentry work, doing yard, stuff like that. And then I finally got the job back to what my career was, which is I'm a heavy metal industrial fabricator, right? I build offshore platforms, power plants, refineries, all that shit, right? And so I finally got that job back. But now, see, here's where my pride came back, right? Because I go get the job. I have experience in that. I know what the fuck I'm doing, right? And so I remember I was there about a week, you know, and within a week, it's like I almost got in two fights. Right, because I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what the fuck I'm doing. I know what I'm doing here, right? You can't tell me how to do this. I know what I'm doing, right? And I just bring that up, and I just remembered that because that was, you know, that's my story, anyways, right? I had to learn how to listen, right, and be open-minded, about that stuff, right? And, you know, so what I did was, right, I went to that meeting and I got me a sponsor and I worked some steps and I went to a convention in Austin, right? And it became a service and I bought all the literature. I just didn't follow the other suggestion. I got me a girlfriend. She had the car, you know, had to take me to the meetings. Right? Yeah. So I did that. But you know, I was talking to my sponsor earlier. I said, well, the one thing that I did know, because when I got high, all I was doing was I was just trying to get high and just trying to have sex. Trying to get high and just trying to have sex, right? That was all I was doing at the end, just stealing and finding means to get more and get high and have sex. So I figured, if I'm not gonna get high, well, I can't just be having sex with everybody, right? So I stopped that, right? And that was like one of the first things I did, right? I had to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Something had to change, and that was one thing that I knew that had to change, right? Mm-hmm. So I just got a girlfriend, had sex with one girl. Right? But, it was the right thing to do, I believe, right? Okay, so anyways, but you know, I started working the steps and the step working process, and I became a service. You know, I got involved with hospitality. I love cooking and everything like that. So I was all about hospitality. Let's feed the masses, right? And getting involved with the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And I went to all the events and dances. I mean, just whatever, right? I just got involved and I went to work. And I got blessed with the job. And it just continued to go. And then, you know, of course, life and recovery happens, right? And I remember my dad, I got a phone call at work. My dad, hey, your dad's in an accident. So I go to the hospital and my aunt's there, right? And surgeon comes out and tells me, well, this is what happened. Somebody broke into your dad's house. They stole the keys to his car. He went out there to stop them and they ran over him, right? You know, and right there was like, I got my mom and I said, let's go, right? And within 10 minutes, I was parked in front of the dope house, right? And I said the dope house, right, it was the prison gang leaders, you know what I'm saying? And I was already gonna put the word out on the street, right? And to go look for this guy, right, or whatever, right? And I remember right before I opened that door, because I had worked some steps, right, and I had been put myself into fellowship, this voice in my head said, go be with your dad, right? I swallowed that fucking pride, because, you know what I mean? And then I went and I listened to that voice and I went to go be with my dad, right? And I was able, because I did a lot of damage when I was in my addiction with my dad, right? Like I would steal his car for days on end, right? I turned his house into a trap house when he was living at his girlfriend's, all that shit, right? We all know that story, right? So I was able to go back and go in there and rip, because I had the job, rip out all the old paneling and everything and fix his whole house up and get him ready for a wheelchair, you know, and whatever, right? Whatever needed to be done. I was able to be that father for him, right? And he recovered from that for a little bit. And of course he didn't stop using it. But, you know, he later passed, but I was able to give him, I was able for him to hear me tell me that he was proud of me. And I was able to give him a proper burial for that. So here's the thing, right? When the day he died, right? You know, I remember, we like spent all this money on getting his car fixed because he would go use, right? And I was living with him, but he wouldn't use in the house because, you know, it's clean. He would go out and use and come back, and he got in the car wreck. We fixed the car, like $5,000 to fix the car, right? And like 3 weeks later, he's coming home and somebody's dropping him off. I'm like, where's the car? And he's like, oh, it's in a ditch. I'm like, fuck, right? And I'm pissed off and I'm talking, you know, like, God damn it, you know? And so I go in the morning before I go to work, I call in and I go look for the car, you know, I come back and he's, you know, dead on the floor, right? You know,
I love you.
You know, I was able to call, and by it was like 11:30. By the time I just so happened to call my sponsor and I called my best friend, and they were both off the work that day, right? So I got to talk to my sponsor, and my best friend came and was there, like showed up instantly. My aunt, my mom, whatever showed up, and when they took the body, right? I took the body like 11:15. By 12 o'clock, I was in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous to share my fucking pain. Right? I let y'all know that I didn't have to go through that. I don't have to fucking use no more, right? Ever again. And that's really what the message is here, right? And so I want to fast forward a little bit more, right? Just trying to share my experience and how I could relate to the pride that I had to swallow, or where I could relate pride to my experience in recovery at this point, right? And how it could affect, right? Because it says, right, our pride can be a bigger handicap than the physical challenge we are confronting, right? So that that pride, right, if I'm real prideful, and man, I'm going to tell you, we could share, you know, I was real prideful, had this idea at this event that we had on the beach called RBS, and I was going to build this contraption for my wife. Then I was dead set on building it, right? And it didn't matter whose way I got in. I was going to do it because in my head, I knew it would work. Right? Regardless of the fact how much chaos it was causing everybody else around me, right? Man. You know, so that just happened a few times. Let me back up. Just tell y'all where I'm at, right? I still got time, right? Anybody? How much time I got? Oh, yeah, we're good, right? I got a whole 30 minutes. Okay, good. So we'll back up. Let me get back to that. Okay, let me tell you what happened. In December 7th of last year, right? I took a job working power lines. And it was a great job, good career move. I was a pipe fitter, heavy metal fabricator before that, and I was always working my way out of a job, so I got laid off and I had some money, and then I got offered opportunity to go do lineman work, right? So I took it because it was a permanent job, and I was going to have to look for a job ever again and paid all the bills, and it's a career job, right? By the way, I love to work outside. The first time I saw a scalpel, it was like a monkey bar set, and I was king of the monkey bars, right? Right? Okay, we'll just say that, right? Okay, that'll lead where I'm going here in a minute. Hopefully, I can put it all together. But so I took the job, and I loved it, right? It all aspects from digging a hole to using a chainsaw to heavy rigging to driving a truck, just the whole nine yards, right? Everything, right? Working with people with big egos and attitudes and all that, right? Just being outside, just doing it, right? Sweat, I love it. Anyways, so what happened on December 7th of 2021, I was working and I had an accident and I got hit with 14,400 volts went in through my arm and came out my leg, right here, boom, right? Killed me instantly in the bucket. My crew got me down, took me out of the bucket, started CPR, and got my heart going, threw me in the back of the truck, and I came to in the back of the crew truck with my head on this 22-year-old dude's legs and my feet on this 26-year-old man's legs. And, you know, I got, it's like, it's hot. Open the window. It's hot, you know, and start yelling at him. And, chill out, Mario. You just died, and we're taking you to meet the Hello Flight, right? So they fucking, oh, okay, you know, and so, you know, all right. So, yeah, you know, so they you know, okay, so I chilled out. They got me to Halo Flight. And boom, boy, I got hit with some good shit on Halo Flight. Ooh, that was great. It was a freebie. It was a freebie, I'll just say that, right? But anyways, man, so, you know, I woke up. I remember when I was out, it was very colorful, very peaceful. It was like a sunset with the purples and the blues and the yellows and the golds and the reds, you know, and there was like a big gray mountain with the green trees and the waterfall. And then that's when I woke up and I could see the back of the seat, right? I always say I was in God's country right there, right? Yeah, I remember that. It was very peaceful. Anyways, just in case you didn't know what the other side looked like, I kind of experienced that. It's very peaceful. And anyway, so, you know, I've got my fallout. I come to, got my wife and my mom and my best friend, my foreman, my general foreman, my vice president of the company, and I got the surgeon looking around. Tomorrow you were in an accident, and you know, we're trying to save your arm, but we might have to amputate it. And I I looked at him, I looked at everybody, I said, it's okay, I got another one. Right? Okay. And there's some literature that just stuck out to me, right? And I'm going to say this, is there's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. And this is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles, right? So if I would have had that negative attitude, oh, poor me, I can't do this, guess what? I wouldn't be here. Or if I wouldn't have had the recovery that I had by working the steps with the sponsor, because when I was sitting in the hospital and they're asking me, what's your pain level, right? And I'm getting hit with morphine and methadone, right? And I could have easily said, oh, it was 10, because I deserved it. No, it's 3. I'm okay. Right? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I knew I was going to be okay once I woke up when I was still breathing. Right? I just knew it. Because I have a relationship with the God of my understanding today, right? And I've been through a lot, and I'm still going through a lot. It's just life on life's terms. It's not happening to me. It's just happening, right? And if I take pride and say, "Oh, I got this all by myself," it's a miserable outcome. It really is. So I have to swallow my pride and know that. Give my God the credit that he deserves, right? That's where I got to do, right? For me. And I learned that the other day, right? I'll say, we'll go back to the building thing on the beach, right? And that was a very chaotic thing in the people that are near me, right? That happened. And because I'm learning how to live a new life now with one arm. Right? It's like I'm a newcomer. I'm trying to live, how to learn to live clean with a new arm. It's like I'm a newcomer, like I said, right? And I tell you, the real struggle was learning how to wipe my ass with my left hand. Right? Right? That's real talk. Real talk, right? Okay. But, you know, I want to be able to do things. I have this metal thing that goes over the toilet, right? It's a metal thing with glass. And so I got little eye bolts and got my wife to help drill some holes. And I went and got a little piece of cable and drilled a hole through the handle because the handle's on this fucking side. So I got the cable now. I get courtesy flush. Right? Right? I also got, you know, my wife would help me with my deodorant under my arm. Well, one time she went out and I took a shower. What am I going to do? So I figured it out. I got one of those back bamboo scratchers, and I had some electrical tape, and I electrical tape my deodorant to the, and it's not axe deodorant, it looks like an axe, right? But it works, right? It's a solution-based. This is a solution-based program, right? Yes. And I have to swallow my pride, and I'm knowing everything, and I'm not doing everything by myself. But anyway, so I go back, and I've had this project, right? And my foreman gave me one of those Draeger smoking barbecue pits. Pellet grill. Anybody have one? They're beautiful, right? They're great when you have one arm. You just push a button, fucking fire and smoke. You know, I can't rub two sticks together, right? So it's fucking perfect, right? Well, I was using it so much that the lid broke off. What am I going to do? So I went out there, and I figured out that all my tools are now left-handed. That makes sense, right? They're all left-handed now, right? There's no right-handed tools in my life. It's all left-handed tools, and I was able to figure out how to hold a center punch, hammer it, drill some holes, and I cut a piano hinge and with a hand with little screws. I got it all done, right? And I'm sitting there talking to my dog, you know? And I told him, don't you know your dad's a bad motherfucker? Right? And that was my pride talking, right? But at that moment, I had to realize that thank God and thank my God for the ability to be able to figure that shit out, and that I am still here and I am still alive. Yes. right? Because I should be fucking dead or locked up for a very long time and actually died in recovery. Okay. Oh, let me talk about that, right? Because I was in the hospital, and after a month, and they get all the surgeries, boom, I had a pulmonary embolism.
What?
It was like 8 millimeters long and the size of my pinky, and they went in there and pulled it out, and I still ain't fucking dead yet, right?
Wow.
Right. And they keep saying, well, God's got a plan for you, and God's got a plan for you, and you're here for a purpose, right? Well, you know what my purpose is? It's to carry the message to the addict who still suffers that you ain't ever got to fucking use again, even if you want to, right? Because our message is this, right? That an addict, any addict, stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, right? And finding a new way to live is an ongoing process, right? It is not a destination. It is not an event. It is a continuous journey, and I get to do it with y'all, and y'all get to do it with me. I'm Mario, I'm an addict, and that's all I got.